Blog Talk Radio.
Disappearances that no one can quite explain, could be things that are of the paranormal nature, maybe not. We're also going to be talking about some spiritual topics, and of course, when you call in to share, or if you call in to get a question answered, we'll be talking to you a little bit about what you think. But anyhow, like I said, let's get situated, make sure everything's running okay. Our show from the afternoon Tuesday was cut a little short, about an hour short, because everything just kind of fell apart. So anyway, like I said, we need to make sure everything's going okay. But in the meantime, give us a call, 347-215-8421. This is Nunu, and we're the Broken Earth Radio Show. We'll be back in just a moment. And I think that that's pretty cool. We get to talk to different people, reach different people. And I wanted to say hello to Atomic Ray in the chat room. And I hope that you enjoy yourself. And we also have a lot of people in the queue. But just so you'll know, when we do take our first caller, we'll be talking to the caller from 956. That's 956. And Atomic Ray, if you could tell me if I sound okay, that would be awesome. If you're hearing everything all right, we've been having some technical difficulties off and on. One of the things I want you guys to think about, the people that are in line, or even, you know, just anybody who's listening and joining in, one of the things we want you to think about, because this is something that I'd like for you to discuss when you call in. The question is basically, if not now, then when? Atomic Ray, I'd be a high pitch if I guess, I don't know. I guess it depends on what high pitch is. Interesting. Thank you. Thank you so much for letting me know that everything sounds okay. But yeah, if not now, then when? When is the right time? What is the right time? That sort of thing. You know, I've been kind of reading, you know, we read and we check things out. One of the little stories I came across, and it's not a brand new, none of these are brand new stories necessarily, but they're just things to think about. About five disappearances that nobody can explain. Now, you know, back in the Dark Ages, people disappeared all the time. Crusades, disease, and nearly non-existent bookkeeping made it pretty easy for people just to slip through the cracks without so much as a footprint left behind. However, luckily, in the modern world, it's not impossible, but it's pretty much, you know, it's hard to disappear. When people vanish, it usually turns out they were, you know, something happened, like they may have been killed or kidnapped, or it's likely that that's what's happened. But the point is that we usually have some sort of answer, which makes it a lot more mind-boggling when people actually do vanish into thin air under very seriously weird circumstances, like Ray Greiker. For 20 years, Ray Greiker was the district attorney of the Center County, Pennsylvania. He was a solid man with a tough reputation. And back in on April the 15th of 05, he phoned his girlfriend and told her he was driving to the countryside and would be back soon. And he never came back. So, you know, somebody like a DA is going to be bound to make enemies. And he was probably making a call under duress from some gang members or something, right? That's pretty much what the cops thought. When his car was found outside of an antique store, pretty much everything but his cell phone was missing, and there were no signs of a struggle. But it must be noted that DA seldom put up a fight at gunpoint unless they're played by, you know, Aaron Eckhart in a movie or something like that. Anyway, as the search ensued, his credit cards and accounts were monitored with no signs of activity, and even his laptop was found in a river, but it was too damaged to recover any files. So what makes his disappearance any different from those of countless other people who could have been killed or possibly even just killed themselves? Well, this is the deal. He was working on the Penn State University debacle, the sex abuse scandal. And it may or may not have ended up revealing, you basically know what was going on. I'm not going to go into all that stuff. But anyway, when he vanished, they found out that in 1998, he refused to press charges against the coach, despite having more than enough evidence. And in 05, he did the same thing. It's almost like he was stacking up evidence for a huge judicial beatdown. And some officials have said that his disappearance must have something to do with the Penn State scandal. And true enough, even without the whole case-building thing, he had a history of animosity with the university. But here's another curve. Remember that laptop we mentioned? The one that was found in the river, implying that the killer dumped it there? Well, in 2009, someone got around to searching his home computer. And the search history showed that Greiker had made a whole lot of web searches for such things like how to wreck a hard drive, how to fry a hard drive, and water damage to a notebook computer. Like he was planning on destroying the computer himself in a way that would make its contents unrecoverable. So that would mean he dumped the computer and then vanished. But why? We may never know. We may not ever, ever know. And Louis LaPrince was a 19th century inventor, and this guy specialized in cameras and was so far ahead of time that he actually created the world's first moving picture. But you kind of wonder why you never really heard of him. And it's because he vanished from a train. No passengers saw anything suspicious. There were no noises from his cabins. All the windows were tightly closed. But when the train pulled into Paris, not only was he not on the train, but his baggage, kept in a separate compartment, was missing too. Now, both the train and the railroad were searched in their entirety, but neither the man nor the luggage was ever found. Now, some say that he had some elaborate suicide. That may be something that he did. Some people said his family had ordered him to disappear because he had financial problems. And others still said they kind of pushed that family theory some more, saying that his brother had murdered him and somehow managed to, you know, magic away the corpse luggage combo, because who cares about logic? But anyway, there's also the other theory, which is basically that, and this is something that's actually nice for Thomas Edison, LaPrince's disappearance meant that there was no one to hold Thomas Edison back for taking all the credit for discovering motion pictures. He was in a heavy competition with Thomas Edison. And the thing is that Thomas Edison actively blocked LaPrince's patents while LaPrince had, like, he was blocking Edison's European patents. So they were, like, going back and forth, basically. And so the thing is that, okay, so there might be a motive right there, but the question is how? So anyway, that's something to think about. Here's another one about Jean Spangler. She's an actress, beautiful actress. And she didn't let her limited success stop her from leading a sparkling life. I mean, she wasn't necessarily hugely known, but she still led this really crazy life. And she had just finished filming a bit part in the movie Young Man with a Horn. And she also had some other, you know, bit roles, smaller roles. But one October day in 1949, she went off to meet her ex-husband about child support. And she never came back again. Now, her purse appeared 2 days later, untouched and exactly as cashless as it had been, because she didn't carry money, and because they were thinking about it being a robbery. And the only thing inside was a cryptic note, and it said, "Kirk, can't wait any longer, going to see Dr. Scott. It will work best this way while Mother is away." But nobody knew who Kirk was. But there was one Kirk she knew that made the case all the more curious. And when I say curious, the case was intriguing enough to become a nationwide sensation. Publicity brought plenty of new tips and leads, each turning out to be completely useless. All clues pointed in different directions, and each path was a dead end, even the ex-husband that she was about to go see. And that Kirk that I'm talking about was actor Kirk Douglas of Spartacus and also Michael Douglas's dad, okay? Now, Douglas managed to become entangled in this case by going out of his way to tell everyone that the Kirk in the note wasn't him. That's totally not me. He barely knew her. But up until then, the police hadn't even really thought of him as a suspect, despite at the time checking out pretty much every Kirk and Scott within their jurisdiction just in case. Douglas could, of course, just have been covering his back, as he recently starred in a film with Spangler where she had a role. But, of course, you know, she had smaller roles. And his involvement was just one of many odd little facts that kept popping up. For instance, 3 weeks before Spangler's disappearance, a shady abortion doctor named Dr. Kirk had been threatening all his former patients over the phone, and a close associate of his actually disappeared without a trace. But no evidence ever turned up connecting him with Spangler's disappearance. And in another lead, two mobsters who had been partying with Spangler had also vanished at around the same time. Any evidence that they were involved in her disappearance? No, there wasn't. But in fact, no definitive theory or suspect was ever named, as every day it seemed more like Spangler had just flat out walked right off the earth. There were no gruesome details, so the case just kind of slipped through the cracks of public consciousness within months. Soon it was little more than a shrug and a bucket load of just assumptions about botched abortions and various fatal encounters. And then her memory just kind of faded away. Someone did say that they thought they saw her in Texas. They said there was some woman who looked exactly like her in Texas the next year, but the police never pursued that lead. So, you know, she was just gone, just vanished, just completely gone. Now, one of the last ones, during World War II, Jim Thompson, he was an agent for OSS, which was the predecessor of the CIA. Now, after his service ended, he decided to retire to Thailand and enter into a profession which was basically, he became a fashion big shot, and he rebuilt the Thai silk industry. Now, his efforts to improve the economy won him the respect of both the public and the government and made him completely filthy rich. Now, in March of 67, while he was vacationing in the Highlands in a little cottage with some friends, he never returned from his afternoon walk. His popularity and power immediately led to the largest search in the Thai history, but he was still never found. Now, Thompson probably wasn't planning on a long walk because he didn't take his jacket, his pills, and he was a heavy smoker, and he didn't take his cigarettes either. And so it also kind of seems like, you know, some people say he may have gotten lost or fell, but he was a retired military officer and spy with a lot of survival experience. The terrain was relatively easy, and he was an experienced hiker who liked to engage in solo jungle walkabouts that would be kind of like, you know, basically that didn't happen. Also, you know, some people were saying maybe he had a stroke or something. But the huge search operation, it was a huge operation. It wasn't just a bunch of people walking around the area all lazy. It was a lot of experienced trackers combing the land, So they would have found him, whether he was dead or alive. Rumors soon had it that he, since he was a wealthy American expatriate, he'd just been kidnapped. But they weren't doing it for the money, because no ransom demand appeared and no evidence ever turned up such an operation. So despite the rewards and the multiple search and research parties, no credible evidence of Thompson's fate has ever surfaced. But there was a theory that a lot of people accepted, and that's basically that the communists took him. And but that was something that a psychic, you know, saw. Now, but a really good theory was basically that since he was a revered member of the U.S. intelligence community, and a lot of people were saying that he never really stopped being a spy, and that he disappeared during a time when Southeast Asia was quickly becoming extremely hostile for Americans. He probably really was called back, you know, maybe from retirement to do a one last spy mission. And just never came back, you know. We'll never know. Well, maybe we might know, but, you know, we still may not. Anyway, it's probably time for us to take a little break, and we're going to get to some callers. The first person we're going to talk to is from 956. And remember, our question of the day is, if not now, then when? Or if anybody wants to even talk a little bit about some of the creepy stories that we've been talking about. I mean, they're not creepy, 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 but it's just like, you know, just disappearing, period, and no one knowing. And it is kind of intimidating. Don't want you to get any anxiety, though. Anyhow, if anybody wants to give us a call, the number is 347-215-8421. But we do have quite a few people in the queue. And like I said, when we get back from our break, we're going to be talking to the caller from 956. And we'll be right back. This is Broken Earth Radio Show. See you in a bit.
Now I'm safe in light.
And we're back. It's a Broken Earth radio show. And, you know, we are talking about just some, you know, random interesting things. Things that I think are pretty interesting, at least, today. And right now we're going to take a caller. The caller we're going to be talking to is from 956-956. This is Broken Earth. Could I have your name, please?
Hi, yes, my name is Tony, and thank you for taking my call.
Oh, no problem, Tony. So, did you hear our question?
Well, I was listening to your stories, and I'm thinking those. I mean, in my opinion, of course, those people that just do not want to be found. Maybe they're not. You know, they just. I mean, they might have planned it all on their own. They just don't want to be found. Just want to get away.
That's true. That's true, Tony.
I mean, about the laptop and how, you know, he was one of two. He had it all planned out. He just, I guess he must have known too much. He just didn't want to know, knowing that he knew too much or something. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, our spiritual topic today is basically, if not now, then when?
When? Very good. That's what I would like to know. When? When?
But what does that mean to you? You know what I mean? It's like you know, when's the right time? When is going to be the right time for you to, you know, to let something go? When is going to be the right time for you to, you know, to start moving forward?
When the good thing's going to start happening, for crying out loud. It can't be all negative, but yeah, it's the when. That's a very good when.
Yeah.
You can't say now, you know, it's more like you're right, it's when. When are things going to change for us? When are, you know.
Okay, when, so that, like, that's what you hear.
Fine. Yeah.
Yeah, when you hear that question, you actually ask, you know, why are certain things not happening for me now? When will they happen?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's just how I feel.
Okay. Well, Tony, thanks for you know, answering the question. But you know, if you had one simple question that you could ask today, what's your question?
When will I get married, for crying out loud? when I meet that person, when will it be time for me? I guess I don't know how to word it.
Let's see. Well, you know, that's kind of, we're going to see what's coming at you next. I think that probably I'm wanting to move through your question in a way to keep it very simple, to keep the answer very simple. And I'm not actually going to be asking, when are you going to get married? I'm not asking about, when is your wedding day? I'm actually looking for your next relationship. That's actually, but the thing is, I realize that, I mean, we just need to have some hope, Tony. We need to have hope. So to keep it very, very simple, hold on just a moment. Somebody right here. Foundations. Not having a meeting of minds. I want to make sure I'm in the same place and time as you. Right now, the last serious relationship you had, when I go back in time, I'm going back 5 steps. How long ago? Has it actually been 5 years?
Yes. 2006, I was divorced, 6, 7, 8, 11, 12. Yeah, about 5 years.
Okay. Now, there is an individual that I do see coming into your life, and honestly, it's not as far off as you think. The only thing is that I kind of feel like the next person that you meet, even though I always tell people let's meet the person and then let's see what's going on at the time, I kind of feel like the next person you meet, because you're just in a place where you're kind of on your guard a bit. And this looks like it's happening like probably around February, January, February time. Okay. Mm-hmm. I'm not convinced that this is somebody that's going to be a keeper, but then I do see you actually meeting someone else in the summer. And that is somebody who actually looks like he's got the maturity, and he also looks like he's got a decent job thing going on. He does seem to be a little stiff. By stiff, I mean the energy that I'm picking up is somebody who's very, very disciplined. Mm-hmm. we may need to thaw the guy a little bit. You know what I mean? Kind of cool him out, warm him up. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But that right there is where I'm actually seeing a really, really good relationship possibility. And that's really what we need to be focused on, is just being in, you know, getting you in a relationship with somebody that's clicking with you. And I actually see it happening. But like I said, I see you kind of in a place where you're not fully trusting. You're kind of on your guard. So you've got a lot to protect, though. So I'm not going to tell you to not be that way. But you know what I mean. Things have to be just right. I mean, things have to be just right for many people, but some people just like dating. Mm-hmm. They like hanging out. You want a relationship, but you don't want to compromise or sacrifice. I don't see you as that person that wants to compromise or sacrifice what's important to you, and take risks that are unnecessary. And that might be something that, you know, people aren't flowing in like they used to be. You know what I mean? But that's the next time I see you meeting somebody pretty awesome. So we're just going to, it's going to be a little bit of time, but I see it happening. Okay.
Oh, well, I mean, I'm just hoping I don't stay single forever.
I don't think you're going to be single forever, dear, but don't be scared. You know, we just can't be scared. We can't be scared. Okay?
Well, we're not that far off from that next year, so.
We're not far off at all.
That's mm-hmm. right. You could happen between now and next year, correct?
Mm-hmm. Just a few months. Like I said, I see you meeting somebody in the wintertime, but I just don't see him. I don't see that relationship really maturing very far. And then, mm-hmm. like I said, the next person who comes along from that seems to have so much stuff that's positive, but he seems to be someone that, you know, you're going to have to really kind of get to know him and see what you guys have in common. And, you know, he's not. You'll see. He looks like a good guy. He looks like a good guy, but he's kind of reserved like you. Okay?
So we'll be perfect for each other. Thank you.
Meet the guy. Let's meet the guy. But, Tony, thank you so much for listening and so much for sharing with us. And I hope you have a great morning, okay, dear?
Thank you very much, and likewise.
Thank you, hon.
Bye-bye.
Good night. Bye-bye. We're going to keep it flowing, and we're going to talk to the caller at 831. 831, this is Nunu. Could I have your name, please?
Lisa Ray.
Sorry?
Lisa Ray.
Oh, Lisa. Lisa.
Yeah.
Hi, Lisa. It's nice to talk to you this morning, and thank you for listening.
Oh, thank you. State the question once again.
The question is, if not now, then when?
When you say that, I think it's one of those retractable spheres, those balls that expand and shrink. It's like the shift. Like, things have to compress or be chaotic, and then you can see what it is that when is going to occur. When to me is like a wanting, you know, an answer or wanting something
right.
to be resolved.
Yeah.
So
you're very I like the way that you think about that. It's like, because you think of things, it like because of that imagery, I'm like, this is a songwriter and a poet, you know? Like, you really, really think about things. You're really, really thinking about it, you know? And you're thinking about it in a way that's very, very abstract.
Yeah, I think my fiance said something similar to me about that. I like to think outside the box. There's more than one answer, but sometimes people see it. It's easier for others to see it a different way or understand
right.
it a different way. Yeah.
That's pretty good. Well, what's on your mind tonight, sweetheart? If you had, you know, a question that you could just toss out and get an answer, what's your question?
When? I recently became engaged. We haven't set a date for a wedding. I'm looking for a new job. Have student loans to pay. You know, it's just when.
Right. Wow. Well, you know, congratulations on you guys deciding to go public. That's what I like to call it, because I know that when we're with somebody, that's really our wedding day. You know what I mean? But when you decide to make
yes.
it go public, when you decide to do this, you know, let's go do this. Let's go do it. You know, it's such an adventure, and it's so exciting, and it's awesome that you're going to get to have your day and wear your dress and have your party. I'm really happy for you.
Thank you.
But let's get you working, girly. Let's get you working. I think that's what I see. That's what I see being the thing that we really need to be putting our energy into is you. Like, you know, you're working. You're doing it. Hold on just a moment, dear. Let's see what's up.
We're also trying to get into the same house.
I understand what you mean. Okay, let's see. Tradition's upside down, going around in circles. She's been circling around this job thing and trying to. I'm going to ask you this question based upon what I'm seeing, because this is going to help me determine your timing. I go back 3 steps, and it looks like you had some pretty awesome news, and then it didn't go. You know, like you found this great job opportunity, and it didn't happen. Did that happen 2 or 3 weeks ago? When was that?
Yes, that is true.
Okay. So basically, we're just looking at weeks, and so next week, well, actually. Let me tell you this. It actually could be just now. Like it's tomorrow. You know what I mean? But there's an opportunity that it looks like you're looking at. You're worried about it because of what you just went through. Okay? And so we got to get you nice and calm, but it actually looks like the next week is where it looks like you've got this thing, this job. So we're talking about the very beginning. What is this? The 27th? Next week, the second week of October, we got you working.
Oh, that would be beautiful timing. Beautiful timing.
Yeah. And then, hold on just a moment, dear. As we return, lock in the fence. Where are we going to be pushed through time? Hold on just a moment, sweetheart. There we go. So it looks like you guys are supposed to be moving in with each other. And I'm really, honestly, it might be sooner than this, but it looks like it might be mid-November. But it could be faster than that.
That sounds about right. We're trying to find a bigger home. than what we both each of us have, because I have two children from a previous relationship, and he has a wood shop, so we're trying to find
Right, and then there's something that's going on here. It looks like you're trying to. It says the Empress is upside down. It looks like you're trying to, you know, get rid of your home or do something with your home, because it kind of seems like you guys are combining, and then you're handling some other business at the same time. So you've got some crazy stuff going on, not in a negative way, but I mean, it's like you're doing a whole lot of stuff at one time. You're taking care of people. You're trying to get married. You're trying to get a job. You're trying to move. I mean, you really, really, really need to make sure you got something going on so that you're able to decompress, because I don't want you falling apart before Christmas.
Well, actually, it's around Christmas. I'd love, if you can tell me when, I'd love to get married.
Well, that's why I said that.
Okay.
So I mean, you've got a lot of stuff that's going on within a really short amount of time, and you just need to make sure that you've got people helping you, okay?
Yes, ma'am. That's my biggest problem is asking for help.
Because you do need some. So just remember that. But everything is really going to be coming together for you within a really short amount of time, like I said. And you just, like I said, just make sure you've got good ways to decompress. You can get to the pool. You know, if you need to decompress in a second, get some Happy Camper from the natural food store. You know, don't do too much caffeine so you're not burning yourself out. You know, drink some orange juice or something, you know, when you need that push.
I live a mile from the beach. That's my sanctuary, my serenity. So
good deal.
Decompress and meditate, or our backyard. Backyard, I should say. Yeah. Well, any other messages you'd like to share? I'd love to.
Well, honestly, just the message for me is just basically good luck. And you know, just thank you so much for listening, Lisa, but I do need to get to some of the other callers stuff.
Thank you
for listening. And, you know, we're usually on during the day on Tuesdays, but, you know, I'm trying to do a nighttime show, and, you know, my partner's at work right now, so that's why he's not here. But thank you so much, and we'll talk to you soon, okay, dear?
Yes, well, thank you, blessings.
Okay. All right. Have a good night.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Okay, everybody, we're going to take a break, and when we get back from the break, we have some more interesting things to talk about, and after that, we'll be talking to the caller at, the caller from 303. Yeah, the caller from Colorado. But you guys just hold tight. Remember, we always try to get to everybody. I'm saying we, even though it's just me right now. But this is Broken Earth Radio Show. This is Nunu. And if anybody wants to give us a call, our number is 347-215-8421.
It's bad. Hi, my name is Aaron, and for the past 3 years, my trusted guide and friend, Nunu, has helped me along the journey of change and growth. Her sincerity and clear insights have brought new understandings and developments to my life. I am proud to know her, to be her client, and to have her support in my life. Thank you, Nunu.
And we're back. You know, I posted a link in the chat room, and Mike, I'm seeing your message here now, and yeah, you're in the queue. But I posted a link in the chat room about this. It's also on the Broken Earth page on Facebook. But there's a new map. But this is something that Bill was trying to talk about the other day when we got messed up in the morning. In our regular show, because we were cut off. But there's a new map that plots out every reported Bigfoot sighting in North America for the last 92 years. And it reveals some very interesting patterns, whether you believe in Bigfoot or not. Josh Stevens, who's a PhD candidate, mapped out the 3,313 possible Sasquatch spots since 1921, and people do seem to glimpse the hairy creature much more in some region than others. The map and data collated by the Bigfoot Field Researchers Organization show, for example, that Bigfoot was supposedly spotted three times more often in Missouri than in Kansas. Very interesting. Stevens explains on his website, right away you can see that sightings are not evenly distributed. At first glance, it looks a lot like a map of population distribution. And this makes sense. By a law of averages, you would expect an area with more people to report more possible Sasquatch viewings. Even so, there are some very bright spots around the Ohio River Valley, Mississippi River Valley, the Sierra Nevada Mountains, Central Florida, and the Pacific Northwest. Yet it gets intriguing when Stevens maps the relationship between reported sightings and population density. As he notes, there are distinct regions where sightings are incredibly common, despite a very sparse population. On the other hand, in some of the most recently, some of the most densely populated areas, Sasquatch sightings are exceedingly rare. Most of these Bigfoot hotspots are in the western United States. Stevens acknowledges that terrain and habitat likely play a major role in the distribution of reports. And he also has like a big picture that somebody took of Bigfoot or of something. He also notes that the population data is based on census figures that only take into account where people live, not where they vacation or travel. Stevens also says that the reporting mechanism is not hugely precise, as the Bigfoot Field Researchers Organization only allows spotters to enter the nearest city. So if you're keen to see a Sasquatch yourself, the BFRO offers 4-day expeditions into the North American wilderness to try and find the mysterious ape. In 2013, there are still spots left on the trips in British Columbia, North Carolina, Georgia, and major Sasquatch hotspot, Missouri. So what's in Missouri? What's there, you know? ZZ Top? A whole bunch of hippies? I'm just kidding. But... oh my gosh, it's Bigfoot. No, it's just some dude. But yeah, look at that map, because it's pretty cool. And there's a lot of places where, you know, there's just nothing there. Check that out. Click on the link, or you can go to our Broken Earth page on Facebook and click on that link there and, you know, check it out for yourself. I don't think there's a whole lot of... there's not too many sightings in Colorado. Yeah, there's not. There's quite a few. from that map. But, you know, it's not that big. And I'm saying that because we're going to be talking to somebody in Denver right now. Hi, this is Broken Earth Radio. Who's this?
Hi. My name's Allison, but I'm not in Colorado anymore. Just
oh,
my
okay.
phone.
Well, you tricked us. You tricked
right.
us.
Not
Allison,
really.
It's nice to talk to you. It's nice to talk to you, dear. But one of the questions that, you know, we are asking everybody that's calling in tonight is this: is the question, it's the spiritual question of basically, if not now, then when?
You know, I've been thinking about that. If I had the answer to that, I would be a millionaire. I really would. I don't know. I don't know the answer to it. I really don't.
Does it make you think of anything in particular?
No, it makes you think of a lot of things, but it gets pretty complicated and elaborate, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Excuse me, got a frog in my throat. It gets pretty complex. So
okay.
I don't have a simple
That's totally fine. I don't think that there's any right or wrong answer to what that makes you feel or what that makes you think about. But if it just takes you down a maze and kind of makes you feel trapped, you know, we don't want you to feel, you know, like, oh, my goodness, I know. You know what I mean? If you had a question just to toss out there, a very simple question, what's your question?
Actually, it is has a relationship to the topic, or to, you know, to the matter of time, or timing. I just found out a couple of days ago that I need to vacate where I'm living. It's not a move I really am super excited to make, but I have to make it. So I need to find a new place. A new town,
right.
And maybe I'll be leaving the town as well. Find a new housing or residence in a different town, and find employment. All in about a matter of 2, maybe 2.5 weeks pushing it. It's a lot to suddenly have to do.
It is a lot.
In very short amount of time. And I'm not looking just to find any old, you know, dumpy place to live and any old terrible, crappy job, you know. So
right.
It's a lot that's suddenly landed in my lap.
Wow.
It's
stressing
me out.
Yeah, I can imagine that it's stressing you out, honestly. This is honestly... I want to ask you this question point blank because I'm already hearing what your answer is, but I'm going to do a tarot spread because I just want to see, a time frame exactly, but I already know that when everything comes together, it's going to come together in a day and a half, a 2-day period. It's just all going to snap in place, and I'm really seeing... or I'm hearing, rather, that you should be following the job. But, it's like, and one of the things that I'm being told here, is for you to reflect upon some history. So, I mean, are you actually thinking about going back somewhere you've already been?
I would like to relocate to a town that I have visited, but I have not lived in.
Okay, because it looks like you're going someplace where you've already been. But like I was going to ask you if you'd already picked the town, but you have. So basically, it's about the two issues are basically history and responsibility, which is basically going somewhere you've been before and also just being able to take care of yourself. And when the job comes across your lap and it looks like it's something that, some of this stuff kind of looks a little backward, but that's okay because it makes sense to me.
Okay.
It's like it's like the opportunity. I mean, it's something that, I really feel like I'm looking at day by day by day by day stuff. And there's an opportunity that looks like should be showing up around Sunday or Monday. And then the house thing gets sorted out, honestly, through whoever you're talking to. I mean, it looks like you're just basically being up front. Got to go, got to move, got to find a place to live. And in that connection you make through the, you know, into the business world, into the work, it looks like you're finding a place to stay as well. Okay? The thing is that the only character here that I see in the tarot cards that gives me some direction to push you towards is a character that's called the Queen of Cups. Queen of Cups mm-hmm. is somebody who keeps records, somebody who keeps secrets, somebody who helps people, somebody who's like, doing administrative work. And so, but I'm not seeing that you necessarily need to be going through an agency to help you find a job. Have you already been looking at places to work?
I am always looking for work, even when I'm employed.
Okay. Even when you're employed, you're always looking. Okay, because like I said, everything just looks like it just falls out so cleanly here. Even though you may feel like I have no idea what I'm doing, just, you know, between tomorrow and Saturday, because it looks like it's something that actually shows up in the space of Sunday. And I'm saying tomorrow because I haven't slept yet. I know it's Friday. But Friday and Saturday, there's some stuff that you see. And then, like I said, around Sunday, Monday time, everything comes together. So just do what you've been doing. I think that's probably just the best advice I can give you in the time that I have, because everything just, you know, it's just click, click, click. The way you're being told it's time to go, it's like there's something that's just, it's pushing you to this other place. And I don't feel, every moment counts, and I don't feel yeah. like this is horrible. I just don't feel like this is, I mean, it's horrible, of course, to have to get up and move. Nobody wants to do that, but it's just, I don't feel terrified for you. I'm not scared for you.
I'm a little confused about the timing. I mean, that it would be that close in timing, because this town that I hope to move to is about three hours away, and I'm not going to, you know, so it's not, you know, I'm not even going to be able to get there, or even just to begin to try to make some contacts for. I'm just looking for a room. Like, I need a roommate situation, you know, something,
right.
You know, like that. And I'm not even going to be able to get to that town.
Well, I'm not going to have contacts until
next week. So I'm a little
right.
confused.
Well, see, the thing is that. The reason I was telling you that everything seems to be happening a little backwards is because I see you making the contact before I see you inside the chariot. That's why I said that. So this is something that it looks like you're doing over the phone.
Okay.
But like I said, it looks like you're talking to this person on the phone, and it all this stuff comes together, and then the chariot's there. That's why I said it looks like some of this stuff is backward.
And there's going to be employment in this location
there's work.
As well?
Remember, it looks like, yes, because it looks like you're finding a house, a place to live, because you look for the job first.
Well, that will be certainly an interesting
So just look for the job. Remember, you're being told only to focus on responsibility and history. That's what our guides are saying for you to do. And history basically says that it's going to a place you've already been before, and responsibility is just the job to be able to take care of yourself. Focus on the job, and when you tell whoever you're talking to, you know, and I'm also looking for a place to stay, see what they tell you. It all comes together. Okay.
And does this town feel like the right place to go? Because I don't have to go there. I don't want to close myself
right.
off.
Right. I understand that. But like I said, Allison, and I want you, I mean, I know this is probably the first time we're speaking, and because just follow your issues, which are responsibility and history. Go somewhere where you've already been.
Okay. All right.
That's it.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Okay,
sweetheart. Well, thanks for listening. And good luck.
Thank you.
And please let us know about how everything comes together, okay?
I will. Thank you.
Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Good luck to her. A whole lot of good luck to her. I think I want to play a song that got some excitement to it. Grand Theft Auto. The Grand Theft Auto scene. I think one of these songs that Bill uploaded may have some bad words in it, and this might be one of them. So I haven't heard it yet, or I haven't heard it lately. It's been a long time, so if it does have some bad words, forgive me. Pam just posted a link in the chat room, and of course it's also on our Facebook page about reincarnation. Now, I'm not going to put anything in your head about it. Just use your own judgment. Leave some feedback about it after you watch it. But basically, it's a video that went mainstream. So I think it was on a Fox affiliate, if I'm not mistaken, I believe. I might be wrong. I can't, you know, sometimes I don't always remember everything right. But it's basically about a boy who vividly remembers a previous incarnation of being a soldier in World War II and how he had died. Names, dates, remembering who people were in pictures. But watch it because, you know, when you watch it, it makes you feel something. I'm not going to tell you what I feel because I don't want to put anything into your head. But, I mean, from, you know, what they're trying to put across to people, it shows that we can carry memory and emotional attachments to memories. And there's also some things in there that show how the little boy remembers choosing the family he went to. So just check it out, and like I said, leave some feedback about how you feel about it. You can call in probably not the show today, but, you know, a later show and talk about it. But, you know, our question today that we're putting out to people who are calling in is basically, if not now, when? And, you know, how does that statement make you feel? If not now, when? You know, when I hear it, I've had, you know, people say, you know, I want to leave my husband. But the things they put out, I mean, they've got to be legitimate statements. They've got to be legitimate, you know, things that they feel are holding them back. But as an example, I remember somebody saying, I want to leave my husband, but I'm waiting for a check from my insurance company. And so I threw back, so the insurance company doesn't have telephone so that you can have them send the check to a new address. The insurance company doesn't have direct deposit. You know, if you're not ready to leave, you're just not ready to go. You're not really just waiting for a check, you know. But the thing is, though, you know, it's like, you know, losing weight. If not now, when? You know, so it's remember, it's not, there's no right or wrong answer because it's how that sounds to you. Some people may be suffering from relationship stuff and they're waiting for somebody to come back, or they're waiting for somebody to say the right thing. So they're waiting for a relationship to go back to the way it used to be, you know, but it's what we give up on certain things, and we're just waiting for things just to happen, you know. But anyway, the question is, if not now, when? But remember, there is no right or wrong answer, but it's interesting to see how that makes you feel. Or to see how that, what that makes you think about. We're going to be taking the caller at 210. You there?
Yes. How are you?
Hi. So, what do you think? If not now, when?
If not now, when? I think that's very important in that, like, especially when you're getting issues resolved. Does that make sense? Like, you need to take action immediately. At least that's the way I think. That's the way my brain,
right.
My brain functions. Like, I don't like to waste a minute. If there's a problem, I would think about, all right, how am I going to fix it? What can I get done? Is it possible?
Right, right. So you don't want to you don't want to put it off.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. Because the more you put it off, like, well, that's not good. Well, I don't know. Maybe it is. Sometimes it is, and sometimes it isn't. It just depends on the situation.
Right, right. I mean, of course, because sometimes haste makes waste. Sometimes, we're just putting off the inevitable, letting something go because we're afraid of it never coming back, as opposed to it not coming back really being the answer that we're, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Like when you let something go and then it turns out, like, time later, it's like a person or someone comes back and they're like, what? I wasn't expecting that. You know, it's kind of, that's true.
Or if they just never did come back, you know what I mean? It's one of those things that, we're just scared. We're scared to,
and then,
sometimes we're scared to know the truth.
Yeah, and like the kind of weird thing too, well, in a way, is like, okay, let's say that person wasn't meant for you, and so you let them go. And then you realize later on down the line that you're with this other person who's great and treats you well and everything, and you're like, oh my gosh, if I was still with that other person, this other person wouldn't have been able to come into my life. You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah, I do.
So it's just interesting. Do you mind if I ask a question in regards to an issue that I'm kind of dealing with right now?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And see what you get intuitively?
Mm-hmm.
It's in relations to school and this current class that I'm enrolled in.
Class is it?
Physics.
Okay. Physics class. Hold on just a moment. Like that, you're just like, what do you think about my physics class? To be honest, everything actually looks like once we can get past just the atmosphere you're in, or not atmosphere, just I don't know if I'm using the right word. Just I guess it's because my swords are upside down around you. But after that, everything is like cake, And so with your sword being upside down, are you having a hard time focusing in on the class, or do you think the teacher's not that great? Are you just having a hard time getting geared in because of just, all the personal stuff going on in your life? There's something about the discipline and structure with the class that just looks like it's totally whacked out right now. But the thing is, if you can just kind of like just stop.
Well, it is.
And
I guess let me just kind of clarify for you. Like with this professor, she's basically saying it's impossible for me to pass the class. And I may have found a way around it with a substitution form, or I would use credit from another class to give me credit for this class. Does that make sense?
Right. Yeah, it does.
Do you see that going through?
Well, this is the deal. My issues here are the class itself, which is, it's basically being defined as a spiritual success. It's the education. And also, let me tell you something. You really look like you'd be good at physics with this card. And, of course, the upside-down Queen of Swords, right, because that's your teacher. The teacher just really doesn't seem to want you to do well. I don't know what it is. And I'm not trying to make you feel like, oh, the whole world's against you. But this teacher, there's something about her, okay? But anyway, but when I actually get into the spread, there's happiness, there's celebration, there's another happiness card. There's all this stuff that's really, really positive here if we can just kind of get you out of this time period. So this is the deal. It actually kind of looks like, because everything comes together without, like the only thing that's standing in between you and happiness is nothing. I mean, it's like the teacher's actually sitting next to the happiness. So it's like, that to me tells me that what you probably need to do is, you know, what is the teacher asking you to do?
She wants me to actually withdraw from the course. And I found
okay.
a way to still get credit for this.
Right,
but I just
right,
need to
right.
pass it through, you know.
Well, see, the thing is because it looks like the only thing you can do, I mean, I know you could still take the class, but remember, since she refuses to teach you, basically, and it's this early in the game, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You just go on ahead and do what you said you were going to do. Try to see if you could get some credits and all that kind of stuff. But this is the deal. This is the deal. It actually looks like there are a couple of classes that you could do this with, and you're going to find this out. But you may want to take the classes, though. I mean, I'm just saying. I mean, you know, I'm not telling you that you. Not, but it just looks like there's several here that you could actually do this with. It actually looks like there's two or three.
Yeah, well,
but anyway.
I've done it in the past. You know what I mean? Like I've done it
right.
before in other classes. That's why I thought. I was thinking to myself, like, well, because see, when I had this done for the first portion. And so I was nervous now that the second portion has come up, but I'm thinking to myself, my advisor told me in an email, I want to say it was like a month ago, that it doesn't need approval from the actual physics department as long as it has its signature on it. So,
right.
I'm thinking it should go through okay. I just tend to overanalyze, you know?
Well, I mean, it's late at night, and you're just kind of thinking about it, and you're one of those people, like you said, that likes to get stuff done right away, and if you can't be doing it right now, you're going to be thinking about doing it until you do it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's
yep.
like you have to have everything planned out just so that you know, okay, and I'm wearing these shoes when I walk up those steps. You know what I mean? That's just the kind of person that you are. Yeah, I do actually believe it's going to be okay, just because our issues are decent. But remember that teacher, just for some reason, there's something going on with you guys where she just doesn't want to teach you.
And see, I was so, kind of shocked when she was saying what she was saying. I'm like, are you serious? Like, she's like, there's no way you can pass this class. And I'm like, okay, like, I guess, I don't. I was shocked at the negativity because she seems like such a positive, like, nice going person, but I guess there's underlying negative energy with her. I'm not sure.
Well, you know, it's, there could be all kinds of reasons why, you know what I mean? But remember, her sword is down, you know, which can either mean that she's refusing to teach, that she's trying to fight, you know, but there's whatever, regardless of the approach. What's most important is your education. And just, you know, it looks like this plan you have is going to work. But and if these other times that you've done it kind of account for the times that you can, or you know what I mean? Like I said, you can do it a couple more times, but it just could be that's the deal. You know what I mean? But
the fact that it's worked out before, so like not to worry, like this
right.
will work out too because of
yeah, it's gonna work out.
Consistent pattern, I guess you could say.
Yeah, it's going to work out.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, perfect.
All right, dear. Well, thanks for listening and have a good
yeah.
morning, okay?
Thank you. It was great talking to you again, Nunu. Take care.
You too. All right, Mike. Talk to you soon.
Hey, bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Okay, let's listen to a couple of songs. Something that's going to make people feel good. And I think I have just a song for you.
Tune in to Broken Earth on blogtalkradio.com, 2 p.m. Central Time, 3 p.m. Eastern Time, and 8 p.m. in the UK.
Broken Earth. Welcome back. This week has been filled with really bad news for white supremacist Paul Craig Cobb. It appears that his hope for his white-only paradise in Leith, North Dakota, is now just full of poop. And I'm not speaking in a metaphorical way either. According to the Bismarck Tribune, the town is in the process of foreclosing on his property after he failed to maintain it, citing its lack of sewer access. It appears that he has been using bottled water for bathing and basic sanitation, utilizing an outhouse on his property for waste. They have given him time to fix up his various properties, but should he fail to do the necessary renovations, they will condemn his houses, the very houses he was encouraging white supremacists to move into. Now, this comes after some Indians descended on the town this past weekend to protest the planned racist enclave. That protest resulting in a very amusing incident involving neo-Nazis playing bagpipes facing natives in full regalia. The growing problem of neo-Nazi groups worldwide is a kind of a high concern. Fueled by austerity measures, this new movement is one of global reach. It was earlier this year that the Greek Golden Dawn neo-Nazi group opened an office in New York, as it were. This global neo-Nazi resurgence has come paired with political assassinations, utilizing the stochastic terrorism, which is basically a technique of describing the desired result without ever asking any particular person to perform the act. They can get an army of lone wolf assassins ready to execute their orders and their enemies. They do this as marionettes dancing on the strings of their puppet masters, corrupt billionaires who seek to turn the United States into their personal feudal state. It would be easy to mock Mr. Cobb's situation, but it's a serious issue. Failure to maintain property brings with it consequences. While some may discuss property values, the real concern, the real world concern, is far more important. Sewage storage is a breeding ground for disease. I mean, come on, you're storing crap. Lack of water can bring with it the risk of fire. And these are just two potential issues, neither of which respect property lines. And his failure to maintain could cause a catastrophe for a neighbor, someone who was not involved in any of Mr. Cobb's crappy business. Leith is taking the necessary steps to ensure that their town citizens are safe, including Mr. Cobb, along with any other citizens, and he should respect that. But since he does not even respect his fellow man, he probably won't. Poor guy. He needs some mental help. Today's question that we've been throwing out to people, when you've called in, and we have about 10 minutes left, if anybody wants to call in and ask a question, the number is 347-215-8421. But today's question has been, if not now, then when? If you don't want to actually say it out loud and talk about it, just think about it. What does that mean to you? When is going to be the right time? Sometimes it may mean to you, you know, I've been waiting and waiting. When is something going to happen? When is something going to change? What is it going to take to make things different? I think this might be something that some of us torture ourselves with periodically. You know, sometimes it can also make you think about, you know, are you worried about doing the right things? You know? Anyway, It's a very interesting question. This is the Broken Earth Radio Show, and we'll be right back.
Had to get the train from Potsdamer Platz. You never knew that I could do that. Just walking the day. In time, near Cardiff, just walking the dead. Thousand people, Crosbers and Booker, fingers are crossed just in case, walking the dead.
We'll be back next Tuesday at our regular time, 2 p.m. Central, 3 p.m. Eastern, and 8 p.m. UK. Sometimes the Blog Talk Radio system doesn't work perfectly, and, you know, we could get cut off or something like that. That's something that's kind of happened the past few times. And it does get a little bit frustrating. But we're always here for you. If you want to locate us, we do have some links posted on our banner page. You can find us on Facebook under Broken Earth Radio Show. You can also find me, Psychic Nunu, on Facebook. And we also have a regular website. And the links are all listed, like I said, on the banner page. I hope that you've enjoyed the episode with random little stories and just different things like that. And I really do love talking to the people who call in and hearing their ideas, you know, the things that are rolling through their minds. Next week we're going to come back with a new question, new topics. Of course, Bill will be here, and just be a nice regular little show. In the meantime, I want to close us out with the song that a lot of people really like. So let me just get it rolling.
Ladies and gentlemen of the class of 99, wear sunscreen. If I could offer you only one tip for the future, sunscreen would be it. The long-term benefits of sunscreen have been proved by scientists, whereas the rest of my advice has no basis more reliable than my own meandering experience. I will dispense this advice now. Enjoy the power and beauty of your youth. Oh, never mind. You will not understand the power and beauty of your youth until they've faded. But trust me, in 20 years, you'll look back at photos of yourself and recall in a way you can't grasp now how much possibility lay before you and how fabulous you really looked. You are not as fat as you imagine. Don't worry about the future. Or worry, but know that worrying is as effective as trying to solve an algebra equation by chewing bubblegum. The real troubles in your life are apt to be things that never crossed your worried mind, the kind that blindsides you at 4 p.m. on some idle Tuesday. Do one thing every day that scares you. Sing. Don't be reckless with other people's hearts. Don't put up with people who are reckless with yours. Floss. Don't waste your time on jealousy. Sometimes you're ahead, sometimes you're behind. The race is long, and in the end, it's only with yourself. Remember compliments you receive. Forget the insults. If you succeed in doing this, tell me how. Keep your old love letters. Throw away your old bank statements. Don't feel guilty if you don't know what you want to do with your life. The most interesting people I know didn't know at 22 what they wanted to do with their lives. Some of the most interesting 40-year-olds I know still don't. Get plenty of calcium. Be kind to your needs. You'll miss them when they're gone. Maybe you'll marry. Maybe you won't. Maybe you'll have children. Maybe you won't. Maybe you'll divorce at 40. Maybe you'll dance the funky chicken on your 75th wedding anniversary. Whatever you do, don't congratulate yourself too much, or berate yourself either. Your choices are half chance. So are everybody else's. Enjoy your body. Use it every way you can. Don't be afraid of it, or what other people think of it. It's the greatest instrument you'll ever own. Dance. Even if you have nowhere to do it but in your own living room. Read the directions, even if you don't follow them. Do not read beauty magazines. They will only make you feel ugly.
Brother and sister, together we'll make it true. Someday our spirit will take you and guide you there. Just helping you out whenever.
to know your parents. You never know when they'll be gone for good. Be nice to your siblings. They're your best link to your past and the people most likely to stick with you in the future. Understand that friends come and go, but with a precious few, you should hold on. Work hard to bridge the gaps in geography and lifestyle, because the older you get, the more you need the people you knew when you were young. Live in New York City once, but leave before it makes you hard. Live in Northern California once, but leave before it makes you soft. Travel. Accept certain inalienable truths. Prices will rise. Politicians will philander. You too will get old. And when you do, you'll fantasize that when you were young, prices were reasonable, politicians were noble, and children respected their elders. Respect your elders. Don't expect anyone else to support you. Maybe you have a trust fund. Maybe you'll have a wealthy spouse. Never know when either one might run out. Don't mess too much with your hair, or by the time you're 40, it will look 85. Be careful whose advice you buy, but be patient with those who supply it. Advice is a form of nostalgia. Dispensing it is a way of fishing the past from the disposal, wiping it off, painting over the ugly parts, and recycling it for more than it's worth. But trust me, I'm the sunscreen.